Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Linehan.
Well, thank you for finding us. We're streaming everywhere, and every Wednesday morning, we've got a new connection for you to make here on Songwriter Connection. This is April 1st that we're recording this, and it's a beautiful, lovely April day, no April Fool. And we've got a day that is beautiful as our guest today, and I want to introduce Kirsty Krause. How are you, Kirsty?
Good to see you. Hey, I'm doing fabulous. How are you? It is gorgeous today.
Isn't it beautiful? Yeah, nice spring day. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening on the day it came out, it's the beginning of May the 7th. And again, we appreciate you being out there. I think I met you first time at Millennium Maxwell House. Our good friend and mentor, Mark Allen Barnett, introduced me to you.
Oh, yes. I love that place. And Lee, and everyone's so good over it. There.
Yeah, you got
it. It's a good room, too.
Yeah, it really is. And Lee's been doing it for years, so you can't say no to him. When he invites you on the stage, man, it's an honor. So
yes.
And I watched you play that night, and you lit up the stage. And I was so impressed. I've been following you ever since.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you saying that.
You are like everywhere. And I have to congratulate you. You do such a good job of promoting what you do. And I have so much respect for the independent artist right now, because I know you guys work so hard. You grind it out every day, don't you?
I do. I do have help, but I definitely just follow my calendar. I am in a space, though, where I don't look at my calendar. So for us to just coordinate this, I love that I have someone and I can be like, hey, give me dates where this works out. Because if I do look at my calendar out in advance, it kind of stresses me out. So I just take on the week at a time, day by day. Yeah.
Kind of the same way. I think that's the best way to handle it, I think.
Yeah. I'm always like, okay, what do I need? Like, absolutely have to get done today.
Today.
And I'll rewrite it down and I'm like, that's it. These are the things.
Do you have any time to yourself ever?
I'm really bad. I'm really bad workaholic. I think it's just required, though, when you're an independent artist, you know, you really got to love it that much, because it is going to be your entire life.
We say that all the time.
Yeah. I do try to take time. Like, I was just in Chattanooga, mm-hmm. Down for an interview, and we took time to go to the aquarium. So I woke up early so we could get to Chattanooga earlier and go to the number 2 aquarium in the country. So little things like that, adding that bonus stuff, like, it really does help.
You really do a good job of getting yourself out there. And I know you travel all over. You're big in the UK, too, playing the festivals there. And I've seen some interviews with you, some of your personalities in Britain.
So. I'm actually going back to the UK this year.
Awesome.
I didn't think it was going to happen. Uh-huh. Got this wonderful just opportunity that came up. And so December, mid-December, around the 11th or 12th. Everything is underway, and I can't wait to really put that out there, but I can say it. I can say it. I can share that. I'm really excited.
Imagine there'd be some Christmas music.
This is a particular event. I'm actually singing the Stevie Nicks parts to the her and Tom Petty songs.
Oh.
So I'm coming in and I will be playing the part of Stevie Nicks, which is what an incredible honor at this theater.
Hello.
And I have shows around this as well. But it was just, how do you say no to that?
I don't. Was she a big influence on you? Did you love Stevie Nicks?
Yeah, you know.
I always did.
My parents, and I definitely watched that series that just came out recently, the Daisy and the Six. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Daisy and the Six was kind of loosely
based. I binged that very quickly. And,
it was awesome. Elvis' daughter. Granddaughter, wasn't it?
Yeah. She did great.
Yeah, she was awesome in it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Stevie acknowledged it and was like, I very much, like, it's first two episodes, not so much, but the rest of the series, like, I felt like I was reliving that time, and that was really cool. So I just like went all in. My dad was like 80s rock, mm-hmm. and my mom was like Peter Frampton, Bryan Adams. So they came together at Fleetwood Mac and Styx. Like, that was where they collectively like appreciated music together. So
that's awesome.
That was definitely playing in the house.
Yeah. So that had to be a little bit of an influence.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, we always say in the show that you define your own success. And I think you have to be in a good place right now. How are you feeling about everything and how it's going?
I'm definitely in a good place. I am a person that is always striving for like, what's next? What's the new thing to tackle? What is the, you know, I really focus on the guitar the last 3 years, and I wanted to be able to play whatever solo show that came to me. And now I'm like, okay, what is the next? Like, guitar will always be there. I always want to get better at the guitar. There's always stuff to improve
on. You can't perfect it.
Right. It's just not. But I'm always looking like, what's the next project or something for me to tackle that's like completely out of my comfort zone. I feel like if you're not living like on that edge where you're uncomfortable, then what are you doing? You're not growing. So I'm constantly just trying to get better and see what else I can tackle.
That's awesome. Okay. Fair enough. Let me give you an example of
But I do feel good. I mean, I feel good. I feel like with this release and everything, like, I've never been more organized. I feel like every release gets easier and easier, and you get to put it out to more people, and you know that many more people, and just the process gets easier. So,
yeah, because you learn.
It was way less stressful even than releasing a song in the UK last year. That was stressful.
I'll bet. How did that go, by the way?
It was great. I mean, I ended up getting on BBC News. Mm-hmm. Played 23 shows over there. It's just their internet is a little wonkier than ours. Yeah. And so in order to do the amount of postings that I wanted to and talk to my duet partner, Christy Huff on Dabba Dolly, she was in LA and I was
play that song
in the UK. So. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And so at one point we were like 8 hours difference.
Yeah.
So all of those factors, you know, made it a little harder to be able to like really do what I like to do marketing wise. And that's what I graduated with. So I feel
that doesn't surprise me because you're very good at it. We talk about when I say that she's everywhere, she's, you know, I give an example today. I just, I Googled visit St. Augustine, Florida, and your picture comes up.
Yes.
It's you. I'm going, wow, I know her.
I definitely take time to do the extra things where it's like, tag that photo, you know, do the location, do the hashtags, because I know that like if someone's searching around for this stuff on Facebook, like, or wherever, like I know that it will come up then.
I am terrible with that, especially the hashtags.
You also have an easier name though. I feel like not everyone is very comfortable saying Kirsty or Kirsty Alley, you know, knowing the Cheers reference, Kirsty Alley.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have to work harder to make to just make myself visible, because it's not like they can type in Emily and I'll come up. That's kind of how I feel about it.
My problem is nobody can spell my name, and it's very easy. Lenahan, you know, it's spelled like it sounds. But you know, when I was working in radio back in the days, that was the joke, that nobody could get my name right. Oh. We used to get the country stars come in and listen to Dave Land again.
Oh gosh. You know? And you're like, yep, do that again.
Do that again.
Please.
My favorite was Brooks and Dunn. They were arguing over how to pronounce my name. And I think it was Kix goes, it's Lana Foote.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's not.
You know? That's super funny.
It was
funny.
Always fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the shorter the name, the easier.
Well, see, there people. You go. And you know, Kirsty Kraus. And you could, Kirsty Kraus, you could just go KK, huh?
I have, people call me KK, they call KK? Me 2K, like they'll message me, all sorts of things, yeah.
I like 2K a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's very endearing when people message me on whatever social media platform and they have their own, whatever they call me, and I'm like, I love that.
Speak of endearing, how about, you've got a large fan base out there and you've got a special name for them.
Oh, yeah, they're my Thirsties.
Thirsties?
Mm-hmm. And I have a Facebook group for them. They're like 900 plus strong.
Wow.
I mean, it's great because Facebook groups really isn't like a massive thing. If people know about them, then they know about them. But they're very strong. And I absolutely adore them because they have given me so much love and encouragement, and it's just a mutual like friendship. Their messages really do brighten my day, and they make it worth it. Like sometimes I'm like, I'm tired, and they'll message me and be like, I love your new song. I've just been listening to it on repeat, and whatever message. And I'm like, that is so sweet. So I'm like sitting in my car, like, oh, my shoulders go down. I'm like, that's so sweet. I love that.
Makes you want to keep on going.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So where do you find time to write?
You know, around a release, I definitely slow down a little bit in the writing. Like I've been doing write once a week during this time. But typically I try to write like 2 to 3 times a week. I'm not one of those cats that's doing doubles, and I used to, but yeah. I feel like I'm in a space. I've been in Nashville for 7 years, so I'm kind of pickier who I write with. Sure. I, you know, maybe have an idea and I'm like, ooh, who would love to like collaborate with on this, yeah. on this song. And I do new writes still. It's just, I think a lot less than like when my first 5 years
yeah.
into town.
First 5 years you're writing with
everyone,
as many people as you can. Everyone.
Yeah.
Trying to find your tribe, who you work best with. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And writing is such a beautiful thing, and a beautiful, like almost like a essence, like a mystery essence to it, because every room is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how I show up or how someone else shows up is different. Maybe depending on the day, I could have written with them before and
mm-hmm.
they maybe showed up a little bit differently. And then, or I'm taking more of that role. I think it's so cool. There's this element of what's in the energy for that day and what's great. Happening for that day and how, yeah. you know, how God works in, yeah. in the room. And there's just this element of mystery about it. And
when people don't understand, it doesn't always happen. I mean, sometimes you do a lot of co-steering where you start on something and it just isn't working, you know,
yeah.
but when it does happen,
yeah.
magic, you know.
I really love thinking about specific ideas for people. I think I'm very much tapped into like the energy stuff. So I'm like, yeah. okay, Blue Foley, he's going to get down with
yeah.
this. Mm-hmm. I gave him 3 ideas, all very different
yep.
pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay, I like
folks.
That. We should do that next yeah. time. Let's do this. And I was yep. like, cool.
Wow.
But I do take time, I think, subconsciously, maybe while I'm getting ready or like any of those times where I can't like be actually working, I'm subconsciously thinking like, oh, I have that right coming up. What would be perfect for that? Or sometimes it just happens. I have an idea on the way. I wrote with Bryn Black and Christy Huff, who I did Dabba Dolly with yesterday. On my way to the right, like getting ready, I just came up with the idea.
Nice.
And yeah. I started singing the chorus and I was like, I feel like they would be down.
Yeah.
And they were. And so we just rewrote that song.
Do you put a lot of pressure on yourself to go into a write with an idea?
Yeah. I think I very much like to drive the write, especially if it's a song for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or just in so many ways, I'm a lot of times like the typer, mm-hmm. the excessive talker, you know, the editor. I kind of do a bunch of different
yeah.
roles, you know, play with melody. I just like to keep the vibe really, really great. So I do like to come in with an idea because I feel like when we can jumpstart in a write,
mm-hmm.
it feels really good.
You know, and it's all about the vibe.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes if everyone, you know, if everyone's tight in the room, which doesn't really happen because I'm writing with people that are like, they know how to, you know, create a good vibe. But
mm-hmm.
I remember like, before if people were maybe nervous, like you just gotta say something funny or stupid, you know, make a funny line that you know is not going to be in the song, but just to get everyone laughing,
yeah,
just break the ice.
Absolutely.
And, if you're in tune with stuff like that, that can be very important to just like make the vibe good
yeah.
in the right.
Now, when you first came to town, you had to find your tribe and you were playing a lot in the Midwest, just all up and down with the band. What made you decide that you're going to do the Nashville route? What was the impetus for that?
It was always a matter of time that I was going to move to Nashville. I actually
you just knew you were going to do that.
Yeah, we looked at Magnet Middle Schools.
Oh,
I was like 11 yeah. or 12. We really came down to look at
in Florida at the time.
No, in Nashville.
In Nashville, okay.
I was in Wisconsin, and we came down as
you
a
went
family
from Florida to Wisconsin, right?
Right, wow. Right.
There's a
I know.
Yeah,
I know. I was in Florida for 2 weeks, born in there for 2 weeks, and then we. Obviously not my decision. They moved back to Wisconsin with extended family. So my
okay.
greater family, a lot of them are in Wisconsin.
Okay.
So
you grew up in Wisconsin.
Grew up in Wisconsin. And
Jeez.
Then we were like, all right, we need... The first time I went to Nashville, I was like 11. Shortly after that, we started looking at Magnet Middle Schools. It didn't wow. seem like the right time.
Your folks knew you had a talent. You had a gift. Hmm.
I started like jumping up on picnic tables when I was 2. And then... It was really like my music teacher that pulled my mom aside because she was like, she doesn't get it. And she pulled my mom aside and was like, listen, your daughter is very like, she's different. She loves music differently and she can you know, hold a pitch and like be on. It's just different. You need to foster this. And my mom, my poor mom, she's like in the, you know, the finance world, like a numbers woman. She's like, oh my gosh, what do I do? So she just started asking a lot of questions. She used the dial up internet and was like, what do I do? Next thing you know, I'm like in plays and singing national anthems and community theater and joining, you know, like church, singing at church, joining Christian festivals, like whatever, like asking the bands to sing during their breaks at festivals. It was a whole thing.
Unbelievable.
I was like, can I sing to these backing tracks on the CD just while you're on break? That'd be great.
You were working it even back then. Yeah, so you were writing music by age 11, I saw.
I sat down with a mentor for the first time at 12 through the Fireside Dinner Theater, the theater that I had worked at. Okay. He was an actor from New York, and he ended up moving to Wisconsin, like loved Wisconsin so much. So that's a funny story. But yeah, he sat down with me like at the piano because I was playing the piano at the time and we were writing songs.
You play piano as well?
Yeah, that was my first instrument. And then I played violin through school, like that third through like seventh grade.
Wow.
That was really fun. I didn't pick up the guitar till 15. And then me and the guitar were like on and off for a long time.
Yeah. How you feel today about your guitar?
Oh, I love that guitar. That HD Martin 28. That's HD 28. It's a beautiful guitar.
Yes.
I definitely had to work myself up being like a shorter and small bodied person. Like I was playing mini Breedloves. Like I was playing mini guitars to kind of work myself up to feeling comfortable. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a full size guitar right there.
Oh yeah. I love me some Martin. I play Martin as well. That one is gorgeous. And I'm hoping you're going to pick it up a little bit later on and play some live music around the dining room table. That's what we love to do here. But first, you've got a new single out, relatively new, out in March, wasn't it?
Yes.
And it's a duet. So talk a little bit about Largo. Song.
Largo is so much fun. It just makes me smile because it's a whole storyline. It's about a young couple that just meets on spring break and it's very much attraction happening. 20 years later, they're married. They're like, we need to get the magic back. So like, let's go back to Key Largo where we met.
Oh, wow.
And they just love it. They just feel like when they're down there, it feels right. It feels really good to them. They feel like they have their magic back. So they look at each other and they're like, what if we stayed? And that's the story. They decide to hell with Chicago. Let's keep it in Largo.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great line. And you know, it's really well written. Now is your co-writer, the guy who sings?
Yes.
Okay. So talk about
him. Yeah. Mike Nash has been absolutely wonderful. He took me under his wing, back in 21, when I was on my way to my first Meeting of the Minds festival, which don't let the name fool you. It's a bunch of parrot heads, Jimmy Buffett, party for a purpose, like all of these amazing people that I love to call them, like they're adults, but they're like little kids in their hearts. And that's why we get along. But so Mike has been in that community with Tom Shepard and all these people for a long time. And I was like, all right.
Tom Shepard, Redneck Yacht Club.
Private Malone. Awesome. Yeah. And Mike is just an excellent performer. He travels all over the country, goes to Belize as well, all different spots. And plays his song. So when Mike asked me to write, he came over to the house on the west side of Nashville and we wrote this song and he came in and was like, I think we should write like a duet, like a kind of like a Kenny Rogers and Dolly type of thing.
Why not? She had the dab of Dolly. Like, so,
okay. You know, let's mix in your kind of rock country thing, you know, with the thick guitars. He's like, yeah. And so then we just started writing this story and he's like, we got to record it. And honestly, when Mike asks you to write or record a song as a duet, I mean, he's been Male Vocalist of the Year for the last couple of years in the Trop Rock Music Association,
which you're very big into, aren't you?
Yes, yes. And they've become quite a family. Yes. Yeah. And so when he asks you, when he asks you stuff like that, you just look at him and you say, yeah, absolutely. Let's do that.
That trot rocks a whole genre. It's a whole world, isn't it? Yeah.
They have clubs all over. They have festivals all over the country. They have just so many things. Obviously, they do a lot of charitable work. It's party for a purpose. So any of their big festivals, anything that they put together, they raise money for a charitable organization.
That's very cool. And by the way, before we play this song, I want to congratulate you on your Josie Award.
Oh, thank you. Big time.
That's the Independent Awards, and you were Artist of the Year, right?
Yeah, that was wild. Artist of the Year for country music as a female. So to go on that stage and step into the sacred
circle.
When you
say that stage, that's the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, the Grand Ole Opry stage, like the country music stage. Yeah,
that's it.
And accept an award specifically for Artist of the Year for country music.
And I was standing in the circle, right? You're standing in the circle. I can't imagine the feeling on that.
Oh, my mom and my aunt, and there were some people. There's three other people that came in from Wisconsin, and there was other artist friends that were there. We had a whole like little group. And so when I went and stepped in, like as I was stepping in, there's like a gif of me, but I looked up at them because, I don't want to get emotional, but like those, a lot of the things that those people have done or like said to me have been wonderful and so supportive. So like, I was really like, we did this.
Yes.
This
it was a victory for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. Even the Thirsties, right?
Yes.
Especially the Thirsties, right? Mm-hmm. Well, let's play Largo. Now that we know a little bit more about it, this is Kirstie and Mike Nash, right?
Yeah.
We were 17, had a fake ID. On a spring break spree, chasing everything. I was doing double shots in a back parking lot. Met a girl down from Tennessee.
He was acting tough, thought he was hot stuff. Then my girls wrote him off, but he was cracking me up with his trashy jokes and his big old smile. So I decided to stay for a while.
Oh, she was looking cute, just sitting there. She was smiling up at me with a flower in her hair.
I knew I was done as a setting sign. First day in my bed, one. So I gave her my number.
And I called you up.
It's 20 years later, we're still in love. We were hanging in Largo, sipping coladas, living our lives like there was no tomorrow. Young and full of crazy dreams. No responsibilities.
Like a spring break love story right on some TV show. Yeah, we started off forever. Started off forever in Largo. So now here we are.
Yeah, we've come so far.
But some days, man, I swear this life can be so hard.
We got pills to pay, ain't no time for play.
We've been working 7 days and we can't catch a break. I know what we need.
I'll go pack our bags.
Yeah, you always seem to know what I'm thinking in my head.
We got some money saved.
I'll go gas the car.
Leave this big old city, ain't that far. Hope and pray and one day we get back. Just like hanging in Largo, sipping coladas, living our lives like there was no tomorrow. Young at heart, we're still dreaming with no responsibilities. Like a spring break love story riding on some TV show. Yeah, we started off forever, started off forever. So what do you say? Could it really be? Sounds so good to me.
Baby, I just signed the deed.
So the hell with Chicago. We'll keep it in Largo. Living our lives like there was no tomorrow. Living our dreams, young and hard. Taking it right back to the start. Like a spring break love story about us on TV show.
you go. Largo, the latest release from our guest today, Kirsty Kraus. Thanks for joining us. I know your schedule is so busy, so it means a lot that you take the time out.
I'm happy to be here.
Sit around the dining room table. Talk about the challenges of putting out a duet. There's things. It's different, isn't it?
Well, there's extra coordinating for sure in schedules.
Did you both release both of so it's on his?
Yep, at the same time. Yep, as a proper duet, and we actually got to record vocals. Oh my gosh, last March 5th, and I know the date because it was Mike's birthday.
Ah, okay.
And so he was like, actually, that's my birthday. Like, I could come in and we could just, like, Melissa and I later could do something in Nashville, like, for my birthday. And I was like, okay, like, yeah. I'm available too. So that'd be great to get the two of us in the same city. Was a lot. So I'm really glad that worked out. And then I was able to run with it from there. But yeah, it definitely makes an extra element with coordinating.
That's great. And you have a lot to do with the production of this too.
Yeah.
The executive producer, you were telling me.
Oh yeah. I love to be a part of the production. I'm definitely someone that like gives a lot of notes, or if I can like sit right in the studio, love that.
Don't you think that that's a major part of songwriting today? That have that vision and how you hear it's going to be. I mean, because that affects the sound.
I'm someone who, like, I will hear someone live at a writer's round, and as my producer brain, I can hear, like, how you would produce that. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I've gone home and listened to their music because I'm like, ooh, I really want to hear how they produce that. Yeah. And been like, probably not. That's not what I would do. But, like, it's just fun. Like, that's another element of kind of nerding out. But, definitely was a part of just the production, and it's always fun to do that.
Very, very cool. Well, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, I want you to pick up that beautiful Martin guitar, and we're going to share some songs live around the dining room table.
Perfect.
Like we've been known to do on Songwriter Connection.
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
And of course, if you're listening on YouTube, we are there. Even though we're not a video podcast, you got to be on YouTube today. And I'm hoping you would just click that like and subscribe, because that really helps us more than you will ever know. So we appreciate that. Kirsty Kraus is with us today. When did it first started really happening for you? Could you put a time on the moment where you felt, man, this is going somewhere?
Oh my. I mean, for me, like, releasing my first single was a big deal. Like, I remember I just wanted to move to Nashville so I could, like, start releasing music as a full-time artist, not someone like with a band, like as a solo artist. Cause before I felt like I was writing a lot for the band specifically to fit right in our sets. So this was me, like, stepping out and releasing songs. And I just remember, like, oh my gosh, I'm kind of doing a risk here. I went really throwback with the song. It's super fun. It's super dancey, kind of 80s throwback.
Was it a departure from what the band was doing?
Very much so.
And the band, by the way, did we mention that before? The band was...
The band was called Thirsty Jones.
Thirsty Jones.
Thirsty like Kirsty, and Jones like our band family last name.
Now, when you decided to go, you kind of decided to do the solo thing.
Yeah.
Was there any animosity there?
No, I mean, I told them in March, like in a March timeframe, that I was going to be moving in November.
Yeah.
I could tell them way in advance. I was like, we're going to finish out this entire like year of our schedules instead of like switching over to the bar scene in the Midwest, where we're doing more indoor shows. That's when I'm going to move. So I was like,
Are you telling me you didn't start to release until you moved here?
Yeah. I mean, I released stuff, but not on the DSP. like not officially on the DSPs, or I mean, I did, but I ended up taking it down. It just didn't, it felt like, yeah.
DSP.
It's like the Spotify, Apple Music, like all of those platforms. Okay. So it really did feel like my first release as an artist where I'm full blown, like.
So, and you came production. In what, 2017?
Mm-hmm. The end of, yeah, I ended up moving in October. I moved it up a month.
So, and of course you lived through the COVID, so that always mm-hmm. that took about 2 years off. So really basically, in a short amount of time, due to math, you know, 5-6 years, you have just blown up. You've got to be pretty proud of that.
Oh, I appreciate that. I don't know. It doesn't feel like an identifier to me. Like, I feel like I'm still on this climb and just trying my darndest every day. But I do appreciate you saying that.
How many dates a year do you do on average?
I know right now I have about 100 for this year, and I'll get up to like 150.
And you're talking dates. All over from the UK to all throughout the United States. Yeah.
Yeah. I always love to do a couple of like new states.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be in New Orleans in May. I've never been to New Orleans.
I never have either.
I'm going to take it all in.
Yeah.
Have just definitely walk around, look at the artwork and just different stuff.
Enjoy the music. I mean,
yes.
That's jazz, man. That's yes. American music, really.
I'm very much excited about that.
Absolutely.
So every year I just try to do a new place for that's sure. Cool. A new state.
You know, and I'll tell you what, I always preach about living the dream. And that is living the dream to me. Getting to see the world with your music, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, think about that.
Oh, absolutely.
You'd have been to visit the UK without your music?
Absolutely not. Yeah. I mean, I would have gone on my own, but not in the way that I wanted to.
Yeah.
And that's how I do explore the countries, and just traveling is through music. I like doing it that way. So, I don't know if I would have gotten over there yet.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. You know, I want to hear another song, but we'd like to get under the hood here around the dining room table. This is the Songwriter Connection. So tell us about the song before you play. And,
Okay. Well, this song is called All Petty, and very much Tom Petty inspired. I came in with the idea, and I was like, all right, listen, I want to do a song called like, All Petty, where he's being really petty, but he's not Tom Petty. So it's like without, you know, All Petty without the Tom. And they were like, okay. And
that's
so I was like,
brilliant idea.
Thank you.
I'd have jumped on that.
I just, you know, obviously it was personal. Like I had broken up in a relationship and he's just kind of being petty. So I was like, I'm definitely going to write this song. I'm going to pull the Taylor Swift and do it.
Let's hear it, man. Let's see what you did.
I was a free-falling all-American girl. He was a heartbreaker living in his own world. Knew it wouldn't be easy, but I never backed down. I was singing his name just the same as a crowd. Should've known it would take a turn. He was let down, lesson learned. I told him, stop trying. He's on a high horse, but he's breaking down. Oh, he's spinning on your confusion wheel. You're acting like a damn icon, but he's all petty without the time.
I love it.
You even got to get the guitar in there, you know? All right.
He says, I love you, baby, but don't do me like that. You want my sympathy, but you leave me on red. Started texting my mama and hitting up all my friends. You think you're real smooth like a southern accent. I told him, stop dragging my heart around. You don't know how it feels. He's on a acting like a damn icon, but he's all petty without the time. All petty. I would have wrote down the College Truro Boulevard. I was a good girl who loved horses and my boyfriend, but that ain't who you are.
I love that you're laughing. This is great.
I told him, stop dragging my heart around. You don't know how it feels. He's on a high horse, but he's breaking down. Oh, he's spinning on your confusion wheel. You're acting like a damn icon, but all petty without the time. All petty without the time.
What a great song. Now, is that one you're going to record, do you think? Or
I don't know.
We don't know yet, huh?
Still kind of new? Yeah, when I play it, I've been playing it out. I probably played it out like 10, maybe under 10 times now. And
get a good response.
I like to play it out. Yeah, people, like if they know Tom Petty songs, they're like, okay. Oh. Like you can see them perk up, you know?
That's what I wanted to talk about. The lesson, we always point out the lesson behind the song. So when you say that you write a song in a certain key, like A or G, or what key are you in? But also think about key as theme. This was the theme of Tom Petty. And how many Tom Petty references are in this song? It all points to the hook.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time. There's no mistaking who you're singing about.
Yeah, we kind of dip out of it a little bit in the second verse. But just to describe like elements of things that he's, being obnoxious. But yeah, there's a lot of things that point to songs. So it's cool to see people perk up. And I like to play songs live to kind of gauge.
Yeah, I do too. In writer's rounds especially.
Yeah, and what the response is, and that kind of determines maybe what will go on a future album or, mm-hmm. or future release for sure. Because I love all, I'm still in the phase and I don't think I'm ever going to graduate. I love all my songs. I really, I'm so bad.
Babies, right?
Yeah. Even if they're maybe not like going to be my, you know, album title song, I'm always like, I want to play that. I'll just play it live on YouTube or something. Like, I still want to play that one.
Do you do the YouTube live every now and then? Do you do
that? I used to a lot. Yeah. I definitely did that a lot during 2020, 2021. I like to do lives because I can't always get over the UK. Yeah. And I want to be able to stay connected. So sometimes I'll just throw up on TikTok or like, you know, throw up TikTok and like, and start going live or Instagram. Mm-hmm. On the store, like go live on Instagram. I like to do
and let the thirsties know it's happening.
I like to do imprompts though. That's too good. Like just cause I'm just having a good day and
pop-up shows
got things to talk about or whatever, but
that's cool.
I want to, like, if I really need to rehearse a song, what better than to learn a song quickly than going live?
Really?
I know that sounds so bad, but
I wouldn't have the guts
it
to
helps
do
me
it, does it really?
Yeah. And I will be on TikTok like, oh, wait, no, I need to do that bridge again. Huh. Like, I'll just, they're like in my living room rehearsing with me.
Well, they're
sometimes I'll do that.
They're really getting behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. And I do, I think I've always done that in general where I do show a lot of the behind the scenes. Like, I love to show the green rooms of places. I love to like be like, my curling iron just exploded because it's in the UK and they don't have enough power. Like it literally just exploded and melted my hair. Like, you know, like random things like that.
Yeah.
Like this is real life. It's not always glamorous.
Yeah. This is what here's what's happening. This is what's happening in my life. And I think it's
So I like to share stuff like that.
Gives people something to grab onto. You're a regular person, just like all of us.
Absolutely.
It's important. It really is. So where are you at in your writing today?
Ooh, I was just talking about this the other day. I tend to describe my writing in eras. Mm. So the All Petty song was very much in the Icon era. You know, I wrote a Dolly song.
Yeah, I want to talk about that song too.
Yeah, a Petty song, a Willie song. Like I kind of was down on a groove. And then I transitioned after that into very transitional songs, like building new bridges. And like, they were very like beautiful melodies kind of thing. And now I'm in an era of writing like very comforting love songs. Uh-huh. I feel like that's what's coming out a lot in the writing room. So it's interesting to see myself like go in and out of certain subjects.
Do you find it hard to write a love song?
I remember my first time writing. It was really hard. Mm-hmm. My first, I just didn't know. I remember sitting, the song's called What Love Does. Mm-hmm. And I really hadn't, I've written like crush songs, but not really about love. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt so out of place to the point where I was with Scott Barrier actually in the room.
He's one of my favorite.
And Donna DeSopo. And those two.
Yeah.
Worked together a lot back in the day. And the three of us were just, they were really pushing me. And so we ended up recording me talking out loud. So I could almost like hear it back and then start grabbing things that stuck out. Cause I was like, I don't even know where to start. I just know like, this is the sound, you know, like, this is the, where we could go. And yeah, they really pushed me. They were wonderful.
And Scott is so brilliant at that. And he does pull it out of you. And when you get an idea, he starts to go to work and he starts taping all these things in the boneyard. Top of the mind, what's coming off the top of your head? And you just,
right.
I like to go down there and go, oh, there's a good line.
Yeah.
That'll fit here. It's like a puzzle then.
And yeah.
He's really brilliant. He brings it out of you, doesn't he?
And I still do some of those tactics like mm-hmm. that I've learned from Scott or Mark, Alan Burnett or any of that. Like I kind of just type everything and put it down there. That way, if you're coming back to it on a bridge or the second verse, or someone had an idea and shouted out, or maybe I had a bridge idea, I put bridge and just write stuff under there. So when we get to that point,
it's kind of bridgey. Let's put that over.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Very good. And the bridge again is Mark Allen Barnett, are both been a mentor to both of us. He always says it's the part of the song where you're like, it's your closing argument. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Yes. And it's the part that you write after lunch. No, I'm just kidding. That's a songwriter's joke.
Right. You know, Bobby's Idol Hour, you ever played that? I'm sure you have, right?
Oh, yeah.
They got that sign that says verse, chorus, lunch.
Yes. Verse, chorus. I love that.
Yeah. I think it was verse, chorus, verse, lunch. Verse, chorus, lunch, bridge, chorus.
There you go. Yep.
Perfect.
So good.
Yeah.
I remember knowing someone who had that poster too in their house, and I was like, one day.
It's brilliant.
I need to get that.
You do. Yeah, absolutely do.
So I don't know, with songwriting, like that's where I'm at right now. And but sometimes I never know. I feel like I'm doing like a lot of, I'm dipping into the, like, this Alabama stuff, this fun, like, country music, because I've been to Alabama a lot lately. And so I wrote a song called God Says Y'all.
Y'all.
Never did I think I would write a song like that. But
that's an interesting concept.
It was super fun
to write.
Where
did you take that?
Oh, I definitely said Dixieland Delight.
Oh, of course. You're in the key of Alabama again. There you go. Wow.
Yeah.
Where do you play in Alabama? Lots of different places.
I've played at the VBC Center in Huntsville for the Jim Parker Songwriter Series.
That's great.
Now Gulf Shores.
I love Gulf Shores.
A lot.
Have you done the Frank Brown?
I have not yet.
Yeah. It's hard to get into that.
I would love to.
That's good. Yeah.
I would love to. They did email me back, but not. They just to advise me about when to apply. So, well, I got that. To me, that's like bait. That's like a little, you know, there's an opening.
You got an invitation to try it. There you go.
Yeah. An invitation to try to apply. And then of course I would follow back up with that email, but, Frank Brown would be awesome. But Alabama just seems to be like a new hub for me, especially since all of the, trap rock, genre is now parked there for their Super Bowl party.
Oh, okay.
For their big party every year. That used to be in Key West, and now it's in Gulf Shores.
Gulf Shores. Is that Floribama or just all over?
Yeah, Floribama, Lulu's, like all of the Hangout is like the big hub.
Yeah.
So I've been there twice now.
That's cool.
And played. And Mike Nash and I got to play on the big Hangout stage for his full band show.
Yeah.
And we got to play our single Largo.
Awesome.
This was last October. So that was really cool. It was like us debuting the song like at the festival.
And there's some nice weather in October down there.
Oh yeah.
Not bad at all.
Oh yeah. And a great beach.
We always go to Destin every September and we have a great time there.
Okay.
We drive through Alabama the whole trip. One time I stopped at in Montgomery to see the Hank Williams Museum, which was a trip.
I need to do that.
Awesome. Yeah, they got the Cadillac there.
Okay.
The Cadillac he died in. And lots of other cool things. But then we found a place a place called Peach Park.
Ooh.
Just south of Montgomery, like exit 205. And man, let me tell you, peaches, but also cobbler.
Oh, yum.
Cobbler, peach pie, and ice cream.
I'm there.
I can't wait to go back.
The thing that I love about Alabama is the chicken liver. I really like the gamey taste the gamey meat. So like chicken liver, I'm all about. Like I just want to get fried chicken liver or not fried. Like I just want that chicken liver.
Do you? Maybe you'll write a song about it.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Dabba Dolly? That was such a cute video and a cute song. And
thank you.
You got to meet Dolly, didn't you?
I didn't get to meet her. No. There's CMA
Fest.
There's
a picture of you and Dolly together.
Right. And I know where you're going. And I know you probably saw that picture. So there at CMA Fest, she had this whole setup this last year, as she should. I love that. Her career is just, it's always been big. And they are continuing to just with her career. It's wonderful.
She continues to be relevant all the time.
Absolutely.
I do a little weekly radio show called Nashville Connection.
Okay.
And it seems every week we've got a Dolly story.
Gotcha. She's constantly, releasing a song or doing something. I did play Dollywood.
You did?
That was super cool. I did roller coasters during the day and then played shows at night. It was great.
That's awesome.
And got to stay there and just see the whole place. But CMA Fest had such a good setup. So it was like this booth that you went in and you could take this like CGI'd picture with Dolly. So of course I was like, I have to do this, but I made sure to like write, you know, this is not real. But
I fell for it. I thought it was real. It looked real to me.
I can't wait to meet her. I would love to meet her. I mean, at this point it's like, you know, in Nashville, everyone says you're like 6 degrees away from meeting someone. I mean, I know her like security guy. I know her producer. I know like I'm trying. Like I think it would be easier, obviously, having a PR entity, like a big PR entity to make this happen. But one day I will.
You're manifesting. It's going to happen.
I would love to play that Dabba Dolly song with friends and have Christy up there and then just do it for the Opry for Dolly's birthday. Like that is what I am envisioning and manifesting for that song.
Yeah.
Just because it's such a celebration about her. And
I'd love to have that happen. I want to be there when
yes,
it happens.
I'll make
is
sure.
that a song you can play for us? I hate to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you?
Because
I want to hear it. And if you haven't heard it, it's out there streaming everywhere. But watch the video. Go to you've got a YouTube page, right?
Yes, I do. And music videos.
Yes, you do.
This video is very fun and pink, and we just went all out. It's like Barbie meets Elle Woods meets Dolly, this house.
so cute.
Just check it
really
out.
It's really cool. You must have had a blast filming.
We did. We laughed a bunch. And then that night, I had a big release party over at a winery, and it was just a perfect outdoor setting. We had cake. Like, it was just a great day to celebrate.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, here it is. It's called Dabba Dolly. Been feeling down and not as strong, so I put my hair up high. A special fit for a day like this, all you gotta do is add some shine. Little Dabba Dolly is good for everyone. When this world's weighing on me, I put records on. Turn up the queen of country, yeah, she gets me in every song. Little Dabba Dolly is good for everyone. Don't get too busy in a 9-to-5 that you forget to make a life. Dark clouds will come, but soon they'll be gone, leaving a rainbow on the other side. Little Dabba Dolly is good for everyone. When this world's weighing on me, I put a record on. Turn up the queen of country, yeah, she gets me in every song. Little Dabba Dolly is good for everyone. She's a saint with some rock and roll. There ought to be a statue on the corner of Music Row.
No matter where you come from, when you're feeling mixed up and wrong, she has a way of helping us all get along. Little dab of Tali is good for everyone. When this world's weighing on me, I put her records on. Turn up the queen of country, yeah, she gets me in every song. Little dab of Tali is good for everyone. All sparkle, sass, and plastic, but she's real where it counts. Little dab of Tali is good for everyone. Little dab of Tali, little dab of Tali, little dab of Tali, little dab of Tali, little dab of Tali.
That's awesome. Sorry for a little glitch there. That's the problem. You're good. Doing live. I was trying to pull up your where you're going to be, and I'm looking at New Orleans on May 17th.
Yeah, I'm going to be in PCB in April, the end of April, PCB, Pensacola, and then heading down to Tampa and then Key West for the Key West Songwriters Festival.
Got some Wisconsin dates going on.
Wisco, yeah. There's a new baby on the way. I'm going to be an auntie for the second time.
Congrats.
And so May cannot come soon enough.
Awesome.
I just want to meet this new baby in the oven. I can't. We don't know the gender. And obviously, I want to see my little niece. She's 2 years old. Her name's Lainey.
Oh, Lainey.
I absolutely adore her. I'm obsessed with her. Oh, I bet. So I'm really looking forward to going up to Wisconsin for more reasons than just music.
That's awesome. Tell us where to find you on the webs.
Yeah, everyone, please go to KirstieKraus.com. That's Kirstie like Kirstie Alley. KirstieKraus, and then Kraus, like Alison Krauss.
All right, Alison Krauss. You're awesome. I really enjoyed hearing your music and your stories.
That was so fun.
I wish you continued success. Keep doing what you're doing, girl.
I can promise that I'm going to keep on going because I just love it way too much to not. So thank you for having me.
You have that passion, and it lights up the room.
Yeah. Awesome.
All the best to you. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Dave.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.